Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It's a Thursday night. It's a little after 6 o'clock. There's no Cardinals baseball today, so here we are. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Having for a full 2 hours tonight, taking you until 8 o'clock. As always, if you'd like to chime in on the program, multiple ways for you to get connected with us. You can call, text, tweet, leave a message on the video stream, or leave a voicemail. We come to you. You don't have to so much come to us. We will come to you. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Just save that bad boy in your phone. That way, if you just want to fire off a text message when you're listening to the program and you don't want to do the whole thing of trying to figure out what the number is, just save it, KMOX text line in your phone, and then you can text us whenever you're listening, 314-436-7900. If you want to tweet at me, it's at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. If you are on the Odyssey app listening to us, we've got the voice message option. You can just leave us a message. Those come directly to the studio. And if you are watching us on any of our social media channels, you just leave a message. Bill, good evening, Bill. We just got a good evening, Matt, from Bill. So, we see those comments as they come in for those of you who are watching us on the video stream. So, like I said, many ways to get connected with the program. We've got a lot coming up on the show today. Our good friend Bernie Miklas, he's going to join us in about 10 minutes. Generally, we have him on Wednesdays. I mentioned this yesterday, but I can be self-deprecating again. I didn't know what day it was yesterday. I literally did not know what day it was yesterday, and we had the entire show booked. Producers Kyle Sixta and Matthew Rocchio yesterday. They had great guests and everything, and then all of a sudden, it's like 6 o'clock, and Bernie texts me. He's like, hey, am I on tonight? Like, oh my gosh, it's Wednesday. I messed that one up. So we've got Bernie on today. I'll make up for that. And I do know that it is actually Thursday. So there we go. Tomorrow's Friday. I'll try to keep track of the days a little bit better than I normally do. Next hour, Jim the Cat Hayes with Bally FanDuel Sports Network. Is there like a, if I worked for them, there'd be like a jar, like a cuss jar that you have to put money in every time you say it. They've changed names so many times. It's always something different. But yeah, from FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. By the way, I saw somebody say, I wish I know who would have said this on social media because they were so right. And I like to give credit to people when they say things that are true. When it was Fox Sports Net Midwest, we just always referred to it as FSN. That's what we always called it. Well, now it's FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Can we go back to calling it FSN? Does that work? I think so, because FanDuel is technically one word. It's not fan space duel. It's FanDuel. It's one word. So I think FSN, we can just go back to calling it that. And what's new is old again, or what's old is new again, however that saying goes, that's the way that you go. But yeah, Jim Hayes is going to join us. We'll also talk some City SC soccer coming up later on this hour. We've got a guest from MLS Season Pass and Apple TV. So yeah, we got a lot going on here on the program. As mentioned, we'll open up phone lines coming up later on in the program if you want to chime in on anything that's going on. Nothing's really changed in terms of the Cardinals from yesterday to today. They're off to a nice start. It could have been better. I think you look at the two extra inning losses and you kind of lament the fact that they didn't win at least one of those. A 5-1 start would look a little bit better than 4-2, but 4-2 is solid. 4-2 is fine. Beggars can't be choosers, right? Like it's a good start to the year. And Kevin Wheeler and I, we were just talking about this on the Redbird Rush Hour a few moments ago as our final topic of conversation. Stack up some wins here. Stack up some wins, because as this next month goes along, you don't know what it's going to look like. So if you can go into Boston and you can find a way to take 2 out of 3, that's a big win. If you go to Pittsburgh, and again, the Paul Skeens thing factors into this, and actually Cardinals have actually been one of the better teams against Skeens. You don't know if that's going to continue this year or not. You hope it is. But if you can go win 2 out of 3 in Pittsburgh, if you can have another 4-2 road trip, that would really be good, because you don't know what's going to happen when the Phillies and Astros come to town. Two good teams. You really don't know what's going to happen when you go on a 7-game trip and the first 4 are in New York against the Mets, and then you chase that with a 3-gamer against the Braves. There's some tough games that are going to be coming up here moving forward. I mostly believe in this Cardinals team. When I talk about, I've said over and over that I think the ceiling for this team is that they are a team that can contend to win the division. I'm not predicting that they will win the division, but I believe that they are a team that can be in contention for the division. Part of that is, I think, probably a little bit higher of the Cardinals than some outside folks do. You look at all the prognostications coming in the season, I probably think more highly of the Cardinals than a lot of the out of market people do. I also don't think much of anything about the division. It's just not a good division, and I think most people agree with that. If you squint, you can probably make the Cubs look like the best team in the division on paper, but I don't think they're that much better than the Brewers, than the Reds, and the Cardinals. So I've always said that the ceiling for this Cardinals team is just to be a team that's probably in contention for a division, and maybe they sneak it in and they win it. But I'm also somebody who I think this team is going to play closer to their ceiling. I don't think this is going to be a 78-win team. I think they're going to be above 500. I think they're going to be in that category. So if that's who you're going to be, part of that is never going into losing streaks, and not just consecutive losses, but the losing 6 of 8s and the losing 11 of 15s and things like that. And that's where the schedule that's coming up is going to be challenging. You don't want to find yourself buried, because as much as I think this team can outplay expectations, I also think that I'll be doing an about face really quickly if they end up having a slow start to the season, because I do not believe in this team as a team that's going to be able to go on a big run to be able to, knock down a deficit. That's just, I don't think they're built for that. And so it's important that they get out to a good start. And we talked to, honestly, I didn't really look at the schedule much when we talked throughout the entire offseason about how important the first month of the season was. I said that independent of knowing what the schedule actually looked like. And I stand by that. I think it's a true statement. But then when you look at the schedule and you continue to say, man, they got to get off to a pretty good start, it looks that much tougher. So Three games against the Red Sox coming up beginning tomorrow. Tomorrow's an afternoon game, by the way. It's the Red Sox home opener. 1:10 first pitch, so I'll have pregame for you tomorrow beginning at about 12:15. We are going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to talk with Bernie Miklas, his weekly conversation. It's Wednesday on a Thursday because we're going to have Bernie coming up in just a moment or so. We will indeed have Bernie Miklas coming up in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We always love being able to talk with Bernie Miklas. His appearances on KMOX being brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling. And not only do you hear him on KMOX, you see him as part of the team over at Sports Hub STL. That's where he's been writing columns, which have been fantastic. I've loved being able to read as much as he's written here recently. The videos that we talk so much about, he does those as part of the Sports Hub Network now. And you see him co-hosting the Cardinals Territory program with Katie Wu. He's all over the place, including Sports Open Line. He joins us right now. Hey, Bernie.
Hey, Matt. Yeah, you know, why don't you next time just save the introduction. You can go shorthand. Just say, yeah, it's now time to bring in Bernie Miklas, or as we like to say, overexposed and overfed.
Or list the places that you're not working, because that's a shorter list. I kid.
My goodness. I was going to send you a text message last night, and I didn't do it. Man, you work your tail off. So, I mean, I'm talking to someone who sets a great example for work ethic. So, yeah. And by the way, no one should feel sorry for us. We love what we're doing.
Nice of you to say. But, yeah, I'm at the ballpark most days. That's a pretty good life to be able right. to live, even if you're a little tired and have a 10-month-old and 6-year-old at home. But it's all good. So I know you are generally positive about what we saw from the first 6 games from the Cardinals.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, I feel like I always have to say this. Like, yeah, I realize it's only 6 games, but that's kind of the point. You give your initial reactions to the team and your initial views, the impressions that they've made on you, all of us who have watched the first 6 games. It's the only games we have. But I mentioned it today with Chris Ranji. I said, you know, Matt Pauly, Tom Ackerman, Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji, Kevin Wheeler. None of us are saying, you know, wow, you know, get your World Series tickets. But I just like seeing them get out of the gate the way they did. I mean, it was a very impressive display. Just their tenacity, their enthusiasm, their energy, their aggressiveness, their confidence. They have fun, too. And I think sometimes the last couple of years, Cardinals baseball, you know, and I'm talking about the players. I never got the sense they were having all that much fun, sometimes no fun. You know, this team is going to love playing ball, and I like that about them. I really do.
Yeah, I asked Lars Nootbaar about that the other day in the clubhouse before a game, because I was talking about kind of the vibes, and I view him as being one of the main kind of vibes guy. And he said, you know, they still got to come in and do their work every day, but if you can have a little bit more fun doing it, everybody's going to benefit from that. And I think there's a lot of truth to it, especially when you're trying to survive 162 games.
No, that's right. You got to keep it. You got to keep it light, because stress doesn't do anybody. I don't care what you do for a living. Stress is not good for you in terms of just your headspace. Maybe the way you're feeling physically. You know, you worry, anxiety. Maybe you're not sleeping well. You feel pressure. I've always thought, like, teams that were really, really loose, as long as the talent is there, those teams are really built for success. Like, now, when Tony La Russa, 16 years I covered him here in St. Louis, Tony La Russa, in terms of him, incredibly intense, serious man, right? But his teams, his players, his clubhouses were fun. They had characters. They were loose. They were a little cocky in a good way. They had a swagger to them. So, you know, I sort of use that as a reference point. The Whitey Herzog team, same way. My boy, they had fun. They're flying all around. They're making plays. They didn't think they could be stopped. Now, some people will say, well, those teams had a lot more talent. Yeah, point well taken. But I don't care what your talent level is. You got to have the joy of playing baseball. If you don't, if you don't have that, you're not helping yourself, and it's going to work against you.
I've been looking forward to talking to you because I want to talk to you about the decision that Ali made the other day when he did not pinch hit for Wynn with Gorman and let Wynn hit for himself. And honestly, I don't want to get into the baseball side of it. I want to get more to the emotional side of it because in some ways, by letting Wynn hit there, he is trying to show confidence in Wynn. And there's a famous story about La Russa doing that with Yadier Molina at one point, and then that paid off later on in the season. So I don't know how much of that was into Ali's decision, but I do think it's interesting to talk about the power of showing confidence in somebody and knowing when to do that and when not to. I don't even know if that was the time. Honestly, if I'm Oliver Marmol in that spot, I'm pinch hitting Gorman for Wynn. So I don't even agree with the decision, but I think it creates a really fun topic on when you show confidence in guys, even if it might mean you lose a ball game because of it.
You know, when I look at those things, because second guessing the manager or first guessing the manager is part of the entertainment. It always has been since the beginning of baseball. What I'd like to try to do is not automatically go on social media and savage the manager. What I like to do, because I've been around a long time, is all those incredible conversations I had with Tony La Russa, Whitey Herzog, people like that. I like to try to look at it through the manager's eyes. I like to say, okay, well, here are the reasons why he did it, or maybe here are the reasons why he shouldn't have done it. But I try to look at it. I'm not trying to be a cowboy, you know, a fake tough guy on X or whatever. So I try to think it through. And the thing of it is, but I also think it's fair, as I did when I wrote about that the other day. It's okay to say, okay, there were some questionable decisions. Let's take a look at them. And that's what I did. And I didn't have a problem with it because of the reasons you said. He's not going to bail out on Mason Wynn on the, what was it, the fourth game of the season or the fifth? He just wasn't going to do that. This is a core player who's had a hard time, and you don't bail out on the guy in the first week of the season. And I was there that day that you referred to about Yadier Molina, who couldn't hit at all like in 2005 at first. He was nervous. And La Russa said, he can bat 0-0-0. He's going to be my starting catcher. That's it. No more questions about it. You get the same answer. And I thought that did wonders for Yadier Molina. And I just, you know, we live in this culture where, you know, everything's got to be great, like right now. If not, get rid of the guy, pinch hit for him. I think pinch hitting for Wynn would not have helped Wynn, but because he's already fighting it. And the fact that maybe the manager stood by him had something to do with, you know, Wynn staying mentally strong and then breaking out of it yesterday. And then the other thing I like about everyone going nuts, and you're not one of the people going nuts. You're just saying, hey, I thought that might have been a good idea. That's reasonable. But what I think is funny about it, you know, Gorman's hardly gotten any bats and he's looked great. But if he had struck out, everyone's going to be savage in La Russa for sending him up there, right?
Yeah. It's 100%. Last thing for you, Bernie, and it's just kind of a reminder that we make so much of what happens at spring training, and so often it means nothing. Everybody was having a conniption fit about who the Cardinals were going to be from an offensive standpoint. It's only six games, tiny sample size, yada, 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 all the stuff we always say. They're hitting basically 300, third in the league in hitting. They've got an OPS of almost 900. They have 10 or more hits in every single game. Other than Mason Wynn, the guys that we were worried about coming out of spring training, they're all performing at a pretty high level. So that proverbial light switch, it was there for this team seemingly offensively.
Yeah, that's why I try not to get too overheated about spring training, although I get into it a little bit. But, you know, who would have thought, and again, first week, who would have thought that the Cardinals, after the held the drudgery of their offense the last couple seasons, you know, that we'll be sitting here and the only team in the majors averaging more runs per game in the first week were the New York Yankees. I mean, I still think it's important to come out strong, and it really means something, because when your offense has been 11, if a 2-year ranking in the National League, 23-24, your offense was 11th in the National League in runs. I think for your own good, and also for just the way you're perceived by fans who would say, and media would say, oh, well, same old Cardinals. Look at this. Coming out of the gate, there's nothing there. It looks the same, blah, blah, blah. I think it's important to get out of there quick and show some stuff and put some numbers up and also just show a smarter approach. And that's the thing that excites me, too. There is clearly a plan now when they go to the plate. I'm not so sure that the previous 2 years there was ever a really firm plan that everybody knew exactly what to do, what was expected, like a shared philosophical approach. Brad Brown's earning his money. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, just to add on to that, I know this said last thing, but one more. The fact that we've heard some things like it was Victor Scott the other day who said, or maybe somebody else said, Brandt says there's a time to collect hits and there's a time to slug. That means they are actually thinking, Bernie, about the situation that they are in when they are at the plate and they are changing the approach based off the situation. And A, I don't know how much of an approach there was in the first place, but the fact that they actually have different approaches so far this year, I think is a really important thing.
Yeah, I think he's been a good, really good hire, and he's like everyone else, got to go 162. But I was doing a deep dive today, and I found some amazing things about some of their patterns, and I'm probably going to write that tomorrow. I was kind of saving it for, because there's no game, obviously, and then, something to write about. But Brad Brown, it's like the Cardinals again. I don't know if it'll last. I don't know if it'll hold. But some of the stuff is really, really impressive. And I wouldn't say that unless I had the numbers to back it up.
He is Bernie Miklas. You see him over at Sports Hub STL doing both video and writing. Also part of the Cardinals Territory podcast. And a big part of the team here at KMOX with the Gas House Gang and appearances all over the place. And Bernie, we love to hear you talk about the good folks over at Saliga.
I appreciate that very much. Dan Saliga, our friend, has been taking good care of us. He's a friend of all his clients because he treats everybody great. Saliga Heating and Cooling is a family-owned business since 1927, and Dan Saliga is still keeping it going really strong. And why have they lasted this long? I mean, we're talking about almost 100 years. Well, because they're great at what they do, and because anybody who calls them for help at Saliga Heating and Cooling, they can trust them. 100%. They've built up the track record. They've built up the integrity. They've built up the trustworthiness and just the credibility that comes from being a really great family business for nearly 100 years. So you can benefit from that. We have for the last 16 years as a Saliga family. And this proud, independent American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer can take care of you, whatever you need. I want you to go to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com and take a look at their Priority Club. Outstanding maintenance program that'll save you money in the long run, extend the life of your equipment, also give you the peace of mind knowing everything's working great and you're safe and you're good to go. And again, you get that American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning equipment. One more thing, financing options available, subject to credit approval. But for all the info you need, please go to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Thank you.
It is a wonderful time for sports. The Cardinals season just underway. City SC, they've been going for a little while here. They've got a big rivalry matchup coming up this weekend on the call of it on Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. It's going to be Steve Cangelosi. You follow him on Twitter at Kanji Apple. That's a good Twitter handle, at C-A-N-G-Y Apple. He joins us right now. Steve, thanks for the time. Nice job on the Twitter handle. I like that.
Hey, thank you. Hey, full disclosure here. I'm going to date myself with this, okay?
All right.
But if you go back to the late 1980s, there was no radio station in the country I wanted to work at more than KMOX. And I'm speaking to you from the bottom of my heart. And there was a fella by the name of Charlie Slows there years ago who was trying to get me in. And he said, what do you want to do? I said, anything. I'll splice and cut tape. I'll do anything. A glorified internship will be fine. By the time anyone ever really got back to me, I had my first on-air job in New York, believe it or not. So I never went down there. The path not taken. Huh?
And the path not taken. And Charlie's doing pretty well for himself these days, too.
He is.
Yeah, so.
He's had a fantastic career.
He absolutely. It's really, we're here in St. Louis, we think about, the Jack Bucks and the Dan Dierdorfs and all these huge names that have come through. There's a lot of like equally huge names that maybe, Bob Costas, but there's a lot of equally huge names that maybe didn't stay as long, but are part of KMOX's past, which is really cool.
Yeah, that was the gold standard, and I guess the introduction of sports radio with WFAN in New York kind of changed the template of a lot, but there's so much history at that place, and it's good to be on as a guest here in advance of the game Saturday.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. This is a city team. They're having a hard time scoring. There's only one game this year where they've scored more than one goal, and those are they've scored just one goal outside of the 1-3-goal appearance against LA. Like, what do you take away from a team that has been as good as anybody defensively, but has struggled almost as anybody from a goal scoring standpoint?
Yeah, to your point, they've been shut out in four of the first six matches that they've played. And going into this weekend, that 255-minute goal drought that they're on is the longest active one in Major League Soccer. But it's kind of a loaded question because a new coach comes in with Olaf Melberg, and I do believe it does take time to implement the things that he wants to do, but it's a combination of things. It's that patient process that usually takes place when a new man walks in the door calling shots. It's a combination of injuries to a player like Cedric Teucher, who might play a role this weekend against Kansas City, we'll see. And more than anything, it's the mystifying goal drought by the man who was the biggest difference maker in the glorious first season, and that's João Klaus, of course, who I'm talking about, who has not scored since May 11th of last year. And now, as time goes on, it gets more and more difficult, I think, for him to get out of this very frustrating spell. He's goalless in five appearances prior to the game on Saturday this season, but it goes back more than 20 games from 1 year ago. And Matt, I think the biggest indication that a coach can give with his level of confidence in you is a game like the one they played last week against Austin, where you don't have Teucher because of injury. You're going to play with one striker, and they start with Simon Becher and not Klaus. That speaks volumes, and I do think that has to be repaired if this team's going to be in a good place moving forward. But look, we have a lot of good about St. Louis as well. The fact that they're still keeping a very good defensive metric with Roman Berkey not playing is still a very good sign of what I think is possible for this team moving forward.
Do you think it's easier to come in if you're Olaf Melberg and there were a lot of things that you wanted to fix compared to last year? And it seems like he's fixed the back line and what they're doing from a defensive standpoint. Do you think you can make those defensive type of changes quicker and they can be implemented quicker than trying to install what you want to do from a goal scoring standpoint?
Well, I think you can adopt better defense with certain principles, yes. And Olaf Melberg, of course, has that in him because he's experienced it first and foremost as a player, both with club and country. There was probably no more important player for Sweden back in a couple of World Cups in the early 2000s. So the answer to that question is yes, but I also think it's harder to get out of these things when you have a player like Edward Leuven missing from the lineup and not pulling the strings. I do think that set pieces for certain teams are more imperative than others, and I think St. Louis is one of those clubs. This is an interesting matchup on Saturday night because going into it, it would not surprise me if Kansas City has 70% of the ball by design and St. Louis with no interest in controlling the ball any more than 30% of the game, because I think right now that's what they've morphed into. And none of this is a terrible thing. Let me stress that for St. Louis City, because I do think as time goes on, they will adapt to the coach, what the coach really wants. And he said something to my partner, Danny Higginbotham, and I, when we spoke with him in advance of the game on Saturday and in advance of the game last week. Look, I'm an attack-minded coach. I want the ball. I would love to play that way. But my mantra has to be, look at the group, see what they're capable of, see what the players are coming off of last year against Bradley Carnell, many of them who've returned this year, and start from a strong place with that. So the manner in which they're playing, it doesn't surprise me very much, Matt. But I will be honest, as an announcer, I was a little deflated when I saw such a defensive-minded lineup at home last week against Austin, and the result of that, of course, was a 1-0 defeat against a Western Conference team.
From a Kansas City side, they're in the middle of a coaching change. Peter Vermes, a historic figure in the history of that organization and in many ways in the history of the league, is out, and they'll move forward now. How does that, the coaching change, do you think that impacts them at all this weekend?
Of course it does, but I think it will also add to the flavor of the stadium. You know, and I know, this in very short order has become a hot rivalry in MLS, and the games by and large have been electric, and Peter set a gold standard for his particular team. Look, I'll argue that he's on a short list of people who've meant the most to soccer in one particular market, and he might actually be at the very top when you consider what he's done for soccer in Kansas City. This is a true story. I called my first game in MLS back in 2003, more than two decades ago. And the game was between the Metro Stars, the team from New York that's now the Red Bulls, and the club that is the Kansas City Wizards and is now Sporting KC now. It was at Arrowhead Stadium. There might have been 7,000 people in the place. There was no atmosphere, and it was a very different time for the sport in the Midwest. And God is my witness, New York, the visiting team, scored a tying goal, and very audibly from the broadcast booth in Kansas City, you could hear the celebration of the New York players from way up top. The place was that quiet. It had no atmosphere. All of that changed because of what Peter Vermes was able to implement, not only as a head coach, but as the man who was in charge of everything, of the academy. He was in charge of the lower levels of the team. He was the sporting director of the club, the technical director. He was the mastermind of the draft, getting impact players like Matt Beisler and Graham Zusi, who would go on to represent the United States in the World Cup. You don't miss all of those things without seeing a seismic shift in what's about to happen. I think people are going to look on this at the surface, Matt, and his successor, at least for the time being, is Kerry Zavagnin, who spent 25 years in that market as a player or assistant coach. And I think people are going to say he's going to adopt a lot of the things that Peter Vermes implemented. Yeah, it might take some time for him to put his own twist on this situation with Kansas City. But make no mistake, if I am putting together, a list of the most important people in the history of this league, a Mount Rushmore, if you will, of people who had influence on one club, there's no doubt Peter Vermes is on that list. What a job. An MLS Cup, three U.S. Open Cup titles as well in that span.
Yeah, just what a resume he has, and he's a legend in Kansas City for sure. Steve Cangelosi will be on the call on MLS Season Pass this upcoming weekend. Steve, give a plug for everything you guys are doing over at Apple TV and this amazing product that you guys put out on an every week basis featuring every team in MLS.
Well, I can only tell you what it is. This is our third season delivering the games on Apple globally. It all begins typically on a Saturday night with MLS Countdown 1 hour before the very first wave of games get underway in the evening. And I'd like to think we've taken coverage of this league to a different level. Folks in St. Louis, who certainly deserve a team, the push for this began long before that inaugural season, I know, in 2023. I often think about this. You have a market there where folks only know about rooting for their team by watching on Apple TV. But the roots of this business go way back 30 years, and regional television in the area, which I was part of for many years, and it's been an absolute joy to bring this to a global audience. And what an addition St. Louis has been over the first 3 years.
Well, Steve, we really appreciate you taking some time. This is a fun conversation. Hopefully we're able to get you back on in the future.
Can't wait to get back to St. Louis. Kansas City will more than do this weekend. I'm looking forward to this game. Thank you, Matt.
You bet. That's Steve Cangelosi joining us again. He'll be on the call on MLS Season Pass and Apple TV coming up this weekend. You, of course, can also listen to the games on our sister station, Y98, the localized radio broadcast. So we've got you covered when it comes to City SC. We've still got a lot of St. Louis Cardinals talk to get to. We'll mention the Blues here. Let's do that before they get going. They are an action tonight, so we'll talk a little bit about what's going on with the Blues and what they're able to accomplish this evening. That's up next as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program, and hour number two, Jim the Cat Hayes, reporter, and just do everything extraordinaire for FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. He is going to join us here at about 7:20 or so. We'll get his thoughts on what the Cardinals have done through the first six games of the year. Also, he's got a new podcast / video show that he's involved with, and we'll tell you all about that, which is a lot of fun, featuring a now-retired former Cardinal. So details on that will be coming up here in just a little while. Blues are back at tonight, and they are looking to make themselves a little bit of history. They have won 10 straight games. If they can win tonight, it will be a franchise record tying 11th straight win. They also had an 11-game winning streak back in 2019. They have a 9-game home win streak, and a 10th victory at home in a row would also set a new record. So they've got they certainly have some things on the line this evening. They're also trying to position themselves for that second wild card. So last night, the Minnesota Wild, they suffered an overtime loss, so they did get a point. They did that against the New York Rangers. So because they grabbed a point coming into action today, the Blues and Wild, each with 76 games, had identical 41-28-7 records, good for 89 points. So they are in a dead heat for the top wild card spot here with about six games to go. The Calgary Flames, by the way, we have been watching them because they've been the team that's had games in hand time after time after time. Well, they lost to Utah by a 3-1 score. So all of a sudden, that one single loss kind of changes things for me when you look at Calgary and even Vancouver, who's got one game in hand. All of a sudden, you look at the Blues with 89 points, Calgary at 82. So Blues are 7 points up on Calgary, and Calgary has the two games in hand. So even if they win those two games, that only gets you the 4 points. So that doesn't get them the 7 that they would need to catch the Blues. So things are looking good. We'll see. At some point, all good things come to an end, right? Like, at some point, a winning streak does come to an end. That being said, this has been a special run for this team. You kind of get worried when you're matched up against teams that are not especially good, and that is how you would describe the Pittsburgh Penguins. I don't know if there is a more disappointing team in the NHL this year than the Pittsburgh Penguins, because they show flashes of just being a pretty darn good team, and then they can't keep it going. They're coming off a good win against Ottawa on Sunday. They won that game in overtime, but they lost 3 in a row before that, 4 of 5. They had a 4-game winning streak before that. In many ways, when you look at what they've done, it kind of reminds you of what the Blues have done in the two seasons leading up to this, basically this run that they're on right now, where you win a few in a row, you lose a few in a row. You win a few in a row, you lose a few in a row. That's who they are, and they just have turned into not a very good team this year, coming in with a record of 30-34-11. We're going to jump back into Cardinals baseball. We'll give you an opportunity to chime in on the Cardinals. If you want to do that, that's after the 7 o'clock news here on KMOX.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It is our first strike zone hour of the 2025 Cardinals season. Welcome in. Nothing but baseball from here until the end of the hour. We'll talk with Jim the Cat Hayes in just a few moments. The strike zone, we are being brought to you by Graybar. Graybar is headquartered in St. Louis, and they are a great place to work. If you want to chime in, you have an opportunity to do so. You can call, you can text, you can tweet, you can leave a message on our social media streams. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. If you tweet at me, it's at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or for those of you who are watching the show on the video stream on our various KMOX Sports social media channels, just leave a comment and that comes right in, like Henry did. And he said, Brant Brown is a massive change. He's constantly meeting with hitters before at bats, diehard fan, and was bellowing the entire homestand. This team is going to run the division. Exciting Cardinals baseball is back. I hope that's right. I don't know if they'll run the division. I think they're going to be a competitive team. And I don't mean to like just repeat all the same stuff that I've said a million times over, especially now that baseball is actually being played this year. We can get to some new stuff every once in a while. We don't have to just keep playing the hits. But I never understood why the outside expectations for this team were so incredibly low. I'm not telling you this is a World Series contender. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying it's a team that was above 500 and was a second place team in the division last year. And they didn't lose much that was a big time contributor from last year's team. And there's a bunch of guys who are ready to take steps forward. So I always thought that this team absolutely could be in division contention. And we'll say it's only six games, right? It's six games. It was a good six games. The one thing I would say, it's good that like not everything went right over the six games, just in the sense that if everything is going right, well, then you know at some point a lot of that stuff is going to start to fall back a bit. You know, they're not a perfect team. They're far from a perfect team. They are an incredibly flawed team, and we're going to have to watch them try to work through those flaws. Last year, they really struggled hitting with runners in scoring position. Through the first six games this year, they're better. Good, not great is probably where I would go with that. They've come up with some hits, but they've also shown the ability not to drive in the runner from third with less than two outs. That has been something that has been a little bit of a trend, and it probably cost them a win in one of those extra inning losses because they just could not get that next run across. Now, it was really good yesterday to see that exact same thing happen, where they had tied the game and they had the winning run on third with less than two outs and they don't push it across. And then what happens? The next inning, they go put up a seven spot. So that was a good development. That was good to see. I was glad it worked out that way. But this is still a flawed team. But the entire division is flawed. I don't really know how many great teams there are in Major League Baseball. I know how many, like, I think I have a good sense of like the good teams in Major League Baseball, but the great teams, we can all agree that the Dodgers are great, right? Dodgers are great. Phillies, probably. I think the Phillies, to me, are the second best team in the National League. From an American League standpoint, I probably put the Yankees in there, even with the, you know, the pitching issues and other things like that that they've got going on. I'm still a believer in the Yankees. I don't know who else I really believe in the American League. Maybe Baltimore is second on my, I don't know, but I can argue myself out of Baltimore. I don't know. Kyle Sixt is here. Who from the American League other than the Yankees should I have on my great list?
I don't think there's like an objectively second great team in the American League. I'm really high on the Rangers this year. I don't know if you like everyone would call them great, but I think they have the potential to be pretty good. I guess the Orioles
good,
are
not next. Great. Yeah.
The Orioles fit there. I think a lot of the AL East fits there, to be quite honest. No one in the AL Central, that's for sure.
No, and that's a division. There's a lot made of what their records are because everybody is sitting with two wins right now in the AL Central. I think that division last year, you saw some teams kind of emerge. I think Kansas City can be a good team. I think Detroit can be a good team. I think Cleveland can be a good team. I think Minnesota can be a good team. I don't think any of those are great teams. But honestly, I don't think a lot separate. When we talk about the NL Central, and I sit here and tell you, not a lot separates out that group of four, which is the Cubs, Reds, Brewers, Cardinals. Well, I would tell you not much separates out that group of four in the AL Central with Kansas City, Detroit, Cleveland, and Minnesota. In the Central, it's obvious. In the American League, it's obviously the White Sox that are the team that's the worst team in the division. Not kind of one of these things doesn't belong. In the AL Central, it's the White Sox. In the NL Central, it's the Pirates. But outside of that, you can make an argument for just about any of these teams finding a way to win. And I think that's good for this Cardinals team. Because one of my things I say over and over is like, you don't have to squint that hard to see something. You don't have to squint that hard to see this Cardinals team being a team that can really compete in this division. If the Cardinals are doing what they're doing right now, and they're doing it in the NL West, or they're doing it in the AL East, or they're doing it in the NL East, I think the belief inside of the clubhouse might feel a little bit different. And it's not something that they would say out loud. Like, you're always going to hear guys say the exact same things. The belief that exists inside the clubhouse, and they ignore the outside voices, yada, yada, yada. But these are not dumb guys, and they can see what else is going on. So if the Cardinals are going through a transition year like they're going through right now, and they've got a bunch of somewhat young, unproven guys that are trying to take steps forward, and you've got a pitching staff that's just kind of a bunch of solid guys, but not really a bunch of great guys. If you have that and you go into the year, I think it's not that you buy into the outside expectations, but I think there's less confidence that you can, kind of buck the trend and go on a little bit of a run. And have that chip on the shoulder and all that sort of stuff. And, that stuff's nice to talk about. Over 162 games, at some point, generally, talent kind of wins out over everything else. But also, over 162 games, I have to talk out both sides of my mouth. You're looking for any advantage that you can have. You're looking for any edge that you can have. So I think there's value for the Cardinals going through what they're going through right now, playing in a division where nobody is great. Nobody's even that good. Like, pretty good is probably the ceiling for any team in the NL Central. And that's just the way things are sitting right now. Cardinals have won four of their first six. Cubs are 5-4, a half game back. Again, not that really matters at this point in time, but what does matter is the fact that it's a division where you go on a really good run over a two-week period, and then you play 500 baseball the rest of the season, that might be enough. That might be enough for you to win 86, 87, 88 games, and that might be enough to end up winning the division. So that's kind of where the Cardinals are going into this season. I think I would be curious. I'll throw this out, and I'll ask folks to either send in a message on the social media channel that you happen to be watching it, or if you want to text in at 314-436-7900. Probably won't take phone calls on this, but I'd be curious to see if anybody responds to this and has any thoughts. If you're somebody who is really down on this team, has your feelings about the possibility of this team being okay changed at all based off the first six games? And I say that knowing full well how small of a sample size six games is. And if that comes across as me saying that, oh, they had a good six-game start to the season, let's start printing playoff tickets, that's not what I'm saying. I, of all people that you probably listen to talking about baseball, I'm the guy who probably talks about let's just wait and see more often than anybody else. Like, I'm the this is too small. They'll play 30 games. Too small of a sample size. 50 games. Too small of a sample size. That's me. Like, I want more data. I want more information. I want to see more to put together a real thought on some. Not real thought, but to have a final thought would be the better way to put that. But there have been promising things that have happened in these first six games. So if you are a doubter, you're a Cardinals fan, you want to see the Cardinals do well, you just didn't think that they were going to do well, have you seen anything in these first six games that has changed your mind at all? If you've always thought that the Cardinals had a chance to be pretty good, I would think that you're just being the, what you've seen so far has certainly solidified your thoughts going into the season. But if you're somebody that was very negative on this team, if you have a little bit of a different thought on them, I'd be curious to hear that. You can text into the program at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or leave a message on the voice, or not on the voicemail. You can leave a voicemail, but also put a message on the social media channels as well. Jim Hayes, Jim the Cat Hayes, he is the reporter for Cardinals TV on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. He joins us in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Off day today for the Cardinals. Back at tomorrow afternoon. They'll play in Boston to begin a series against the Red Sox. Boston home opener coming up tomorrow. Let's head to Boston right now. One of my favorite people who covers the Cardinals. One of the hardest working guys out there. Somehow, I don't think we've had him on Sports Open Line since I've been the host of Sports Open Line, which is a bad job by us because we ask him. He immediately says yes. He is Jim the Cat Hayes, reporter for FanDuel Network Sports Network Midwest. Jim, appreciate you taking some time. How's Boston?
Rainy, cold, but it's fine. I immediately said yes because you, sir, are a great American, and I follow you on Twitter, and it's almost like you're too rational. I think you're too fair and too rational to be on that platform. I appreciate the kind words, by the way.
Can I correct you on one thing real quick? This is going to be a great way to start this conversation. You don't follow me on Twitter.
I'm sorry?
You don't.
What do you say? How come I see your stuff?
Because I guess other people retweet. It's just so good. So many people retweet it. It ends up on your algorithm.
Well, I did not realize I didn't follow you. And I promise you, as soon as this segment is over, the first thing I do when I hang up is I will follow you. That's my bad. I feel terrible about
you,
that.
I wasn't trying to make you feel. I really don't care. I just, you know, we don't need.
No. You just called me out on the mighty Camo X as a scoundrel. Yes, you did.
I just don't want disinformation. You know, we try to be truthful around here.
That's fair. To help you out. That's my bad. But I would see your stuff, and I think you're fair, and I think you're sensible. I try to be, although I try to be a little campy with some of the stuff. Like, for example, I did issue a spirit win this morning because that's fun. Do you know, I do that on social media. Do you know why I do that?
I don't.
I do that as an homage to the great Joe Strauss,
okay,
who was my friend and was a guy who liked to stir it up, but he used to call it a spirit win when they would, you know, get a couple of runs in the ninth but still get, you know, rolled 8-4 or whatever. And so now on an off day, I did this years ago after his passing, I issue a spirit win as an homage to the great Joe Strauss. And some people think that's because I'm a rights holder, which I am, thankfully. Glad to still be part of the rights holder crew. And that's why I do it. So that's some nonsense for your listeners who probably don't want to hear it, but I thought I'd throw that out there.
No, that's good. And honestly, people who are not following you should be, because I don't say this just to, you know, kiss your backside. You have one of the funniest Twitter accounts that's out there. You come up with amazing social media content.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. I have a team of writers that does that for me. I personally can't string two words together.
That's not true, but we'll move on. We'll move on from that. Before we even get any further, let's let you plug something. You're doing a podcast, a video deal with Lance Lynn, and you guys are gonna have all kind of guests coming in and everything. It's a really cool thing. How did this all come about?
So I was doing it with the company formerly as Bally's as a company promotion, and they let me. They said, we don't do YouTube, so you can start a YouTube page. So I started just doing interviews in the off season. And I don't know if you heard about it. We had some things to deal with, and we are now FanDuel, so I didn't have a chance to do it. And I was mentioning that I was going to start something up on my own, and I was talking to Lance Lynn, and he said he'd do it. And then I was like, well, see if Kyle Gibson can do it. And that was before Kyle Gibson signed with the Orioles. And so it's called Serving It Up with Lance Lynn, and he agreed to do this before he announced his retirement, which he did on his wife's podcast, not on his own, which is understandable. Wives come first. And then Before that, Kyle Gibson signed with the Orioles, but he still wants to do it. So we're taping once a week, and I just throw out some questions, and both of them sort of use me as a human, I don't know what you call, what do you call those things that you hang up, a human pinata. Mm. And they both take their swipes at me, but it's good back and forth. And Lance is kind of an outspoken guy and says it's, you know, what's on his mind. Now that he's not looking for another job, he'll say even more. And I think Kyle Gibson is a good counterbalance to that. And I'm just sitting there for the fun. So it's serving it up. It's on my YouTube channel, Jim Hayes. I don't know how you get there because I'm an old and I don't know how to get there. But it's on my YouTube page. And we're going to do one a week. Gibson couldn't do it, so we have Matt Holliday on for the last one, but Gibson will be back for this one. And we have a company called Punchline putting it together, so we're still working out the bugs on the podcast.
You've got amazing relationships with players, and I think that's part of what makes you really good at your job. Your personality is perfect for it, but it allows you to do things like this, and I think it also... when Ivan Herrera hits three home runs and you're able to kind of go back and forth with him a little bit on social media, everybody just, it gives more personality to these players. And I think it's a really important thing that you do because it allows fans to really get an idea of who these guys actually are.
Thank you for saying that. Because I honestly think outside of doing, you know, the interviews and stuff, I think that's kind of one of my jobs is to get players to show their personalities, because that's how, first of all, Cardinal fans love their players, but they love them more when guys have a personality. So I tell the players, show that stuff, because that's what fans gravitate to. That's how you build a following. That's how you become, you know, one of the all-timers. Like Lance Lynn won 70-something games, but in St. Louis, you know, as a Cardinal, fans love him because of his post-game. And I try to treat players, look, I'm an older guy. I'm not looking to hang out with players. I just want to be kind of work friends with them. And they know if they're 0-for-30, I'm going to ask them about that too. But I try to do it in a respectful way. But the main thing is, and I don't know if you see it in the clubhouse, like I'll go talk to guys when I don't have the microphone. So when they see me coming, it's just, you know, to chat. It's not always, oh, he needs something from me. So I try to build on that. And, I do the best. I just think there's so many guys on this particular team that have personalities that should they keep winning, it'll be a fun season in St. Louis.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And a nice 4-2 start to the season. How pleased have you been with what the team was able to do through those first six games?
Well, I thought, you know, the thing that really concerned me, and who knows what's ahead, you know, like I always say, go ahead and clip that off and say this didn't age well. I don't know what's ahead. I was concerned that they wouldn't hit enough. Well, they have so far, and they've been getting hitting from a lot of places. And the guys I thought would definitely hit are Mason Wynn and Wilson Contreras, and they just got their first hits. It's other guys. Like Newt has caught fire to start the season. He's been great at the top of the lineup. Walker's hit. We haven't seen a lot of Gorman, but he got a start, and he hit well. I think the defense is going to be something. There's some speed in the outfield that I like, and the defense have been strong. I think the bats and the defense were my biggest concern. I think the pitching, the starting pitching, has been exceptional. Like, every guy, they might not be going deep, but a lot of pitchers don't go deep early in the season anyway. But the starting pitching has been solid. We've seen, you know, a couple of missteps in the bullpen. But to me, the impressive thing is the hitting, because to me, if they hit, I think that rotation is going to be kind of middle of the pack like it was last year. I think the bullpen is going to be good. Certainly you got the hammer at the end of the game. But if they hit, they're going to win. And so far they're hitting, and it's been impressive.
It seems like everybody's having a lot of fun. And obviously when you're winning games, it's a chicken or egg type thing with fun and winning and all that. But the vibe through six games, through 1 week, seems like it's pretty good. What leads to that? Because maybe it hasn't been quite like that in recent years.
So I think the fact that a lot of people don't think they're going to be very good, one, takes some of the pressure off, right? If you're a team that every year people think are going to compete to win the division, and then you guys have off years and, you know, it becomes a slog for them, I think you're getting some younger guys who are getting a chance, and I don't think they have a ton of pressure. Every player, by the way, puts pressure on themselves individually, but I mean as a team. And I think there is a youthful energy now where some of the younger guys are feeling a little freer to be themselves. But everyone in that clubhouse that I talked to says it has a different energy than it has the last couple of years. And winning certainly continues that and makes that sustainable. The question is, will it sustain if they go on a 4 or 5 game losing streak? Like you said, you go 4-2 to start, everything's peaches and cream. What happens when they stop winning? Hopefully they won't. They're hitting the ball, and it's been fun to watch.
Is there any place, any restaurant, anything like that in Boston that you have to make sure that you get to every time you go there?
There really isn't, but I will share this with you because actually Chip Carey, I'm name dropping,
yeah,
invited me to go to dinner, and I have the reputation as I'm a hermit because I like to just chill and sleep because, you know, I'm not a big party guy. Anyway, I didn't go to dinner, and he said, "Where'd you go?" I went to a place called Cappy's. It's a pizza restaurant right by the hotel. And I realized that it's the same place. I was a freshman at Emerson College in Kenmore Square, which is a short walk from where we're staying. And when I met a friend of mine for lunch who went to Berkeley School and met another kid who went to Northeastern, right in this very triangle, all three schools, kids from Nyack High School, all went to the colleges that were literally two blocks. So we figured it out. We went to lunch at a place by Berkeley called Cappy's Pizza, and it was there. And I took out from there pepperoni pizza, and I realized that I haven't eaten there in 45 years. Wow. It's 45 years. That place is still there, Cappy's Pizza. So that's where I ate today.
Good pizza?
Is that interesting?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Was it good?
East Coast. Yeah, very good.
Okay.
You know, like, to me, I'm all for East Coast type pizza. No offense to St. Louis. Not don't love St. Louis style. Don't love Chicago style. I like the East Coast. That kind that has the little grease channel when you fold it.
All right. I'm not against that type of pizza at all. He is Jim Hayes. You see him on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Make sure to check out the new podcast, Serving It Up. He has Lance Lynn as a co-host. A lot of times Kyle Gibson is going to be there, the most recent one, Matt Holliday. His YouTube channel is at Jim the Cat Hayes, so that's how you find it. Jim, enjoy Boston. Thanks for the time, and we'll see you when you get back to St. Louis.
I'm hanging up, and I'm going to follow you right now. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Awesome. That's good stuff from Jim the Cat Hayes. We appreciate him taking a moment or so with us. I wasn't trying to be rude about him. He just said it, and I thought, well, that wasn't 100% correct, so I'm going to inform him. I'll update you after the break if indeed I have been followed on Twitter by Jim Hayes, which I'm sure he will do. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up. By the way, if you want to chime in on the Cardinals, this is your opportunity to do so. During the strike zone, we always try to open up the phone lines for you to talk all things Cardinals baseball. So if you've got any thoughts that you want to share, any questions, anything you want to throw off of me, this is the time to do it. You can call 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's the number to call. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. You can text me, whatever you want to do to get in contact with us. If I can see it, I will get to you. So that's coming up in our next segment. Again, 314-436-7900. Breaking news. I have been followed back by Jim Hayes. So there you go. He followed it through. We've got more in a moment right here. It's a Strike Zone Hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at on KMOX, the Graybar Sports Open Line. It is a Strike Zone Hour. If you want to talk Cardinals baseball, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting, 314-436-7900. Kyle, I got a text message from the 618. So we need to go over this here. This is very important stuff for those of you who are not listening in the last segment. And I'm not bothered by it. I didn't care. I happened because when I always bring up people's Twitter accounts so I don't screw up their Twitter handle when I'm saying it. So if we have a guest on, their Twitter account is in front of me, and that way I just look down and see what their Twitter handle is when I mention it. So we had Jim Hayes on, and he said, "I follow you on Twitter," and his Twitter was right in front of me, and it did not have the follows you on it. If you would have asked me 3 hours ago, does Jim Hayes follow you on Twitter or not, I probably wouldn't have known the answer. I probably would have said yes. So I noticed when he said that, I looked at it, did not say follows you. So in a, Jim is a friend. We have a good relationship. He is a good man. He has helped me out in so many ways. Especially, you know, when I was occasionally, like when I go on the road to do games and I'm in cities that I'm not comfortable in, like when we went to Philadelphia last year and I did a game there, Jim really, like, he basically held my hand, you know, figuratively, not literally, with pregame stuff and helping me get interviews and things like that. Like, I cannot say enough good things about Jim Hayes. So I noticed he wasn't following me on Twitter, and he brought it up. He said, "Matt, I follow you on Twitter." So I said to him, "You actually don't follow me on Twitter, but it's not a big deal." We got text message from the 618. "Matt, I can't believe you were so rude and disrespectful to Jim by calling him out that he wasn't following you. You should have just ignored it." Now, Kyle, I think you're in the room, so you saw my bean, my aura. For those of you who are watching this on the video stream, you saw the smile on my face. I said that with the intention of having fun and kind of joking around. Jim jokes around a lot, so I was trying to joke around back with him. And I don't know if this texter is being tongue-in-cheek or if they're being serious, but if they are being serious, I don't think I was being rude and disrespectful.
Maybe I'll be tongue-in-cheek for a minute. You're so rude, Matt. You're so rude.
So there. I hope that guy, like because I'm so paranoid about stuff like this. When I said it, I was like, I hope this comes across as a fun, joking sort of thing. And by the way, he did indeed follow me on Twitter. And then he tweeted out, "Public apology to Matt Pauly on air for not following him until now. One of the most rational people on this platform," which I appreciate that. For people who listen to me all the time know that I try to be very rational in the way that I approach things. That is sort of, that's my brand. If we all have different brands, like some people try to be more hot takey, and that's fine. I'm not being critical of them. That's their thing. That's their lane. I try to be the rational person. I try to be the, I feel this way. You feel this way. I see why you feel that way, but I don't really agree with that. So let me tell you why I agree with that. Let's have a conversation. Like that's the Matt Pauly thing. And so yeah, I appreciate the words from Jim Hayes. But all is right in the world now. And by the way, how about this? A bunch of people are following me all of a sudden on Twitter as a result of this. So this is good for the Matt Pauly brand. It's a lot of power with the Jim Hayes tweet.
Shout out to Jim Hayes. Yes. What a great guy.
He is. He's awesome. I think. Okay, so we talked about this a little bit. I'm getting back serious now. He mentioned the fact that he felt like part of his job is to help players kind of their personalities come out. And I love the game of baseball. I love the Cardinals. I've always loved the game of baseball. Growing up as a Cardinal fan, I've always loved the Cardinals. But even when I was working in markets that were not St. Louis, my overriding love of baseball was very important to everything I have done from a career standpoint. And I always get frustrated when people don't share in my love of baseball, not because it's not their thing. If baseball isn't your thing, that's fine. But when it's because the game is just not being presented in a way that welcomes them in. And one of the ways you welcome people into the game of baseball is by showing off the personalities of various players. And in many ways, it's up to the TV partners to do this. You know, I'll dig in on Major League Baseball a little bit. One of my sayings is, you know, who's the greatest baseball player walking the face of the earth? I can take them to West County Mall and probably walk down the mall with them, and a lot of people won't know who that is. Although, like up until the last couple of years, that was always Mike Trout. I would always say, who's the best player in the world? Mike Trout. I could probably grab Mike Trout and walk him through the mall, and not many people would know who he is. I think now if we go Shohei Ohtani, is he more? I think he's more recognizable. That's probably a little bit more, so it's gotten better.
I'd agree.
Okay. But my point has always been, I can't do that with Tom Brady. I can't do that with Peyton Manning. I can't do that with Michael Jordan. I can't do that with LeBron James. Like, the guys who have been at the top level of their other respective sports are really well known. And even if they have no tie to St. Louis, they're not walking through the mall without people going, oh my gosh, that's LeBron James. Oh my gosh, that's Tom Brady. Like, that's not happening, where I don't know how many people would recognize Mike Trout if you're just walking down the street with him. So I like to blame Major League Baseball for that. I do. What can Major League Baseball really do to fix that problem? You know, how do you feature your players more? You can start doing stuff, but people have to come find that stuff. I think MLB Network is awesome, and I think MLB Network does a good job of spotlighting players. If you're not like a hardcore baseball fan, or if your team that you're a fan of isn't playing on MLB Network, you're probably not watching MLB Network. That's not just the channel that you just haphazardly throw on and have on in the background if you're not a baseball fan. So there's a lot of people who are casual baseball fans who have the local broadcast on TV most times. It's just, it's part of the soundtrack of these 6 months, where Cardinals are playing, games on TV, even if you're not actively watching it, the game is on TV. And that's not just true for St. Louis. Like, I lived in Colorado for a while, which is one of the worst baseball markets in the country. And I can't tell you how often I walk into somebody's house and it's evening time and it's dinner time and the Rockies game is on TV. That's just what you do. It's a normal thing during those months to have baseball on. So I think in many ways it is up to the various regional networks and the teams that, for whatever impact that they have on the content that is on that, to go out there and make sure that fans get to know players a little bit more. And I don't know if there's anybody better in the country than Jim Hayes at showing off the personalities of players, or at least unnerving the players to a point where they are willing to show it off themselves. So when Jim sits here and tells us that he feels like that is part of his job, I'm glad he says that, because I think of all the ways to grow the game of baseball, that is as impactful of a way as possible. You know, people watch playoff games and so forth, but that's a very short amount of time for a very few amount of teams. If every team in baseball has a Jim Hayes who is out there doing what he's trying to do in terms of spotlighting players, I think that grows baseball because we get to know him a little bit more. The Ivan Herrera thing is a great example. Man, the stuff he's... So the stories that have gone along with the 3-home run day, if you've been following along, you know, he talked about wanting to come to the Cardinals because of Yadier Molina, and talked about growing up without money and how yesterday was the greatest day of his professional life. Like, just all these amazing things. And then there's another backstory, which was pretty cool. So Brendan, and then this goes along with the biggest storyline right now in baseball. Brendan Donovan uses a bat that's kind of like the torpedo bat in some ways. And John Denton from MLB.com wrote about this. It was in his most recent newsletter. And then if you go to Cardinals.com, you can click on like the headline about his bat. It doesn't exactly look like the torpedo bat, but he went to the bat company that makes his bats. I believe it's Old Hickory. And they designed a bat for him because where he was swinging and where he was making contact wasn't really the sweet spot on the bat. So they were able to change the way the bat was, and they created an exclusive bat for him that has the same principles as the torpedo bat. Well, Ivan Herrera, what did he do yesterday? He borrowed one of Brendan Donovan's bats. He brought one of his bats, and he hits the 3 home runs. So, and he said after the game he was not giving the bat back to Donovan. Like, that's an amazing story. So everything that goes along with the Herrera stuff yesterday, just absolutely awesome, and it's been really, really fun to talk about. This is a Strike Zone Hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line. Just a few minutes left in the program. Don't go anywhere. We've got more coming up right here on KMOX.
Now, back to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar on the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left in the program. We've got the Gas House Gang coming your way after this show is over. It's going to be Chris Ronji, Bernie Miklas, and let's see, what day is it? It's Thursday. So I think it's just those two guys on the program today. That's going to be coming up from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, so make sure to stay tuned for that. What's on Deck is sponsored by Chesterfield Fence and Deck, the sign you have the very best, chesterfieldfence.com. Cardinals are going to play their first road game of the year coming up tomorrow afternoon in Boston as they match up against the Red Sox. It is going to be Red Sox opening day, so they'll take part in the festivities as they do them in Boston. Eric Fetty's going to be on the mound tomorrow. He had a really nice first start, so comes in with a 1-0 record, 1.5 ERA. Walker Buehler, who did not have a good first start for Boston, is going to make his second start for the Red Sox. He's 0-1 with an elevated 8.31 ERA. Tomorrow is going to be a 1:10 first pitch. That means our coverage begins at 12:15. I'll have you for a pregame right there at 12:15 here on KMOX, so make sure to be tuned in for that and looking for. It's going to be fun to see the Cardinals, go on the road for the first time and see what they can do. By the way, though, sidebar, playing all these interleague games to start the season is kind of odd. Twins, they're going to play the Twins, the Angels, and the Red Sox before they finally get to a National League opponent. And I don't love interleague play, so in some ways, I like getting these games out of the way early on in the season because you're playing, it gives you an opportunity to play the more important games as the season goes along. But that's a really weird quirk in the schedule to play three straight interleague series to open up the season. But that's what they are doing. My thanks to all the guests who are on today. Bernie Miklas, Jim the Cat Hayes was on. We talked MLS soccer, so all kinds of guests. We thank them. We thank you for being tuned in here on KMOX.